Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast.
Friends, as we continue in worship, I want to mention what many of you have probably seen on social media or even on the news that's been discussed about what is we would call a revival or an awakening that's taken place at Asbury University in Kentucky. It started 11 days ago. It's still going strong 24 hours a day. Since then, God is moving, and it's not about a place. It has spilled over into other college universities. And we know, and I've shared this, but I'll say it again, that I truly believe a great awakening, a move of God in our nation, it doesn't strike me as surprised at all that it would begin among young people. People whose hearts are on fire and ready and willing and open to be humble before the Lord and what he's doing. Well, I asked last week, why not here? And the reality is we know it can be here. And so I'm asking, and we sense God moving. We had a wonderful time of testimony even in our Sunday school small group this morning about that very thing and what God is doing. And what I would say to you today is this: as we pray for God to have a great awakening among followers in our nation, among followers in our city, but let's just start with followers in our church. Let's pray and ask God to do that here in this place, in our individual lives. Be reminded that true revival is not about a series of meetings. True revival is not about worship or emotion. True revival is about repentance. It's about conviction, it's about personal holiness, and it is about living out the call of God, and it spills out to others around us and people come to know the Lord. So my prayer is that God will do that. One of the greatest ways I believe we can continue as individuals to pray for personal revival, and we started back with 140 hours of prayer at the beginning of January, but as many of us have continued to pray, I've found in my own life one of the greatest things we can do is to stop and take a moment and reflect on the cross. Reflect on the empty tomb. The song we just sang did that. The songs we're about to sing will do that. The song we'll end with will do that. We will focus on what the cross of Jesus has done for you and for me. What the empty tomb has done for you and for me. And so I want to invite you today to take a moment and reflect on his grace and mercy in your life. If you know him, he has brought you new life today. And he is still maintaining your salvation today. I love what John 10, 28 and 29 says. It talks about us being the sheep of Jesus, and he is the shepherd, and he knows our voice, and we know his. But he says in the middle of that, that he holds us in his hand, and no one can snatch him out. So do you realize this morning, if you've been following Jesus for a while, that Jesus' grip on your life, his grace in your life has been so strong and so secure, and it has been new and meaningful every single day. What about the sin in your life yesterday? His grace is enough. What about the major sin in your life a month ago? His grace is enough. What about the struggle you're facing today? His grace is enough. He is our Savior King, so we reflect on him. So I want to invite you for a moment just to have a little privacy with the Lord. Would you bow your head? This is for a personal time of reflection. Will you take a second and think about what Jesus has done for you? Think about the cross. Think about the new life he has brought for you. Take a moment to reflect on his goodness, on his mercy. If you're here and you have been walking in a pattern of sin and you know the Lord, this would be the perfect time to repent, to say, God, I want to follow after you. I want personal holiness. If you've been going through a struggle, this would be the perfect time to say, God, I need your help. If you've been praying for someone, it would be the perfect time to be reminded that it is the power of salvation that comes through the cross and the empty tomb that you and I have a way to see our brothers, our sisters, our sons, our daughters, our parents, our friends, our coworkers come to know Jesus. So if you've been praying for someone, can you be reminded that he loves them? Can you be reminded that he's at work? If you've been praying for yourself, can you be reminded that he loves you? And that he's at work. So in the quietness of this moment, would you just confess, plead, surrender, worship. God, would you do a work among us today? We don't want it for show. We don't want it for emotion. We want to be changed, transformed. Father, what you started the first week of January through our 140 hours of prayer, will you stoke that flame a little more right now in us? God, in me personally, that's my prayer. Would you join me with your heads bowed in praying and asking God to bring personal revival to your life? Would you boldly say, God, I will answer yes to whatever your question is. Will you boldly say, God, I need revival in my heart and in my life right now. At the 80-year-old, ask him to do it. The 8-year-old, ask him to do it. The teenager, ask him to multiply in your life. And oh God, would you listen to your children pray, and we'll sing it to you right now.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us send us grace.
Sing it again. Lord, listen.
Lord, listen to your children praying. Lord, send your spirit in this place. Lord, listen to your children praying. Send us love, send us power. Send us grace,
send us love,
send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Once more, send us.
Send us love, send us power, send us grace.
Alas,
alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign yeah. Whoa!
He brought hope from despair. He did it for you and for me. He brought new life to you and to me. God, would you do it again? Would you do it again in the lives of people in this room that don't know you? Would you save another? What you did on the cross, your finished work, as they pray and receive, would you save another now? Father, for the comfort and the healing and the help you have brought in so many of our lives, would you do it again? As people boldly ask you to do that. God, we need your grace. And I don't know about anybody else in the room, but I just want to dwell a little longer with you. I'll be honest, Lord, I don't have anything of value to say apart from your word. And your word points to your amazing grace. So we lift it to you together. And friends, we're just worshiping and we're praising the Lord and we're praying to him. Let this be your prayer. Raise the roof.
Amazing grace. How
softly, please. If you're in the room, and we've done this before, but I want to take time to do it again. As the Holy Spirit is at work in the lives of every believer, let me just be clear. If you have Jesus in your life, you were sealed by the Holy Spirit. You can't lose the Holy Spirit. He's with you all the time. But there is no doubt, the scripture is clear, that there are times where the Holy Spirit moves in power in our lives. And we see that. And I hope this is that moment. My prayer is that if you have a need for prayer, it is not enough just to sing praise to the Lord. We must ask him then to do the things that we know will bring him glory. And so we'll ask him now. So if you are praying for someone particular, you've prayed a long time for them to give their life to the Lord or be drawn back to him, and you're still praying and you're still waiting, but you're not going to give up today, and you want to ask several hundred of God's prayer warriors to pray with you about it right now. If you're praying for someone to know the Lord, I'm going to ask you to come stand right down front and represent them, and we're going to pray for them. And you just come now if there is somebody. Because the true mark of revival, honestly, is not going to be are people healed. It's not going to be are people excited. It's going to be, does it spill out to people coming to know Jesus? So if you've been praying for someone to get right with God or someone to be saved, we want to pray for them. So as these people come, just know they're all coming with somebody heavy on their heart. It might be a child. It might be an adult child. It might be a parent. It might be a spouse. It might be a coworker or a friend. But as these people come, we're saying to the Lord, we're willing to come in a way that says, God, we want to be humble and put feet to our faith and ask you to save them, to draw them to him. So we're going to pray for them and pray for that. It's not just me praying, it's all of us praying. Now, enough of you have come, you've got enough faith, you want to see someone saved and someone move. So you pray for the others around you too, okay? So here's what we'll do. It's not chaos, it's not out of order. I promise you God can hear 300 prayers at once. So I'm going to ask all of you to pray at the same time. And I'm going to ask you to pray for the people here, that their loved one that needs the Lord, their friend, whoever it is, God knows that he will gloriously save them and draw them to him. That he'll bring them back to him, some that have walked away. Let's just ask him to do that for a moment. I can think of nothing more important we could do. So I'll start us praying. I'll ask you just to pray out loud together. And then I'll come back on the microphone in a minute. And that'll let you know we're going to end that prayer time. Let's pray together. Father God, I take a moment. Father, we pray your word back to you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God, there are a lot of whosoever's represented right here. And Lord, we believe the word when you tell us also that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we can be saved. Father, we believe your word when you tell us that you demonstrated your love for us and that while we were yet sinners, Jesus died for us. Father, we believe your word when you tell us that you are working in our lives and you're drawing men and women to yourself. We believe Ephesians when it says it's by grace we're saved through faith, not of works, lest anyone can boast. So there's nothing this person we're praying for could do to earn your salvation. God, they don't deserve it any more than we did, but we're asking, would you save them? Would you draw them to yourself? Would you help them to come to know you? The same way Kevin did 2 weeks ago, we praise you for that. The same way Dalton did 5 weeks ago, we praise you for that. The same way several students did at a student retreat, we praise you for that. God, you are still saving people, so would you do so? We ask that you would. We ask that you would. Would you take just a second before we walk away from this moment? We're all going to pray for these people. We don't know them by name, but God does. But I'm going to ask, if you're standing down front, if you had the courage and humility to come and say, I've got someone that I'm praying for, how about before you walk away, tell two people standing there, this is the name, this is who I'm praying for. Would you pray with me? Give them that name, so that they can pray, and let's commit to do that. So if you're down here, would you take a second right now? We're going to sing a verse of Amazing Grace again. As we do, tell two or three people around you, this is the name I'm praying for. Would you pray with me as you make your way back?
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saves. Was blind, but now I
there 10,000 years, sing it.
When we
sing one more song together. It's one we had planned to sing anyway, and honestly, time would say, let's don't do it, but listen, this song speaks such truth to where you are today, where I am today. God has been so good to us. Amen? Amen. You have been blessed by the Lord in your life. Did you come here in a vehicle? Did you walk here? If you did you have the legs to walk here? Did you eat something this morning if you wanted to? Do you come clothed and in your right mind for the most part? And we're here. That's us. Listen, God has blessed us beyond measure. We're in a room where we've got two big heat units, and one of them's out today, and the other one's doing its job just fine. And the truth that we're in a comfortable place. We have so many things to be thankful for.
Amen.
So let's sing about the evidence of God's goodness in our lives together. Then I want to share one verse with you, and I'm going to send you to go out and live it. So let's just take a second. Let's let this be our prayer.
All throughout my history, faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms may wake or scream.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life.
should I fear?
Why should I
of your goodness is here today among our faith family, but we've got evidence of your goodness individually in our lives every day, all the time. God, may we not take it for granted. May we not waste a moment. You are worthy of our praise and worship. So we ask you to speak to us as we read just one or two verses. God, do a work in our lives today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, friends. I'm going to edit what I was going to read. Guys in the tech room, I'll start with verse 24 in just a second. But I want you to know I'm thankful for your willingness to travail. And to travail in prayer is to boldly come and continue and ask God to do something. And so I'm thankful for your willingness to do that. In fact, I want to ask you to do something else. As we're praying for God to bring personal holiness and revival to people's lives, as we started praying for others, we spent 140 hours doing it one family at a time. So would you do this? We're not going to be long, maybe an hour, but if you're available and you want to gather tonight for a prayer time at 5:30 p.m., we will pray. We'll worship a little bit, but we're just going to pray. Not going to be a message. We're not preaching. It's prayer. And we're going to pray. If you can come, if five people come, five of us will pray. If 100 of us come, 100 of us will pray. It's 5:30 tonight in this room. No child care, nothing fancy, nothing happening. It's just us. Just come, bring your family and pray if you want to pray with us. But today I want to share quickly from the bedtime Bible stories. I want to set the stage and then read a verse. Instead of reading all the verses, I want to encourage you to read Acts 16 later on your own. It's a powerful, powerful story of Paul and Silas. And so they received what was called the Macedonian call. And many of us have heard that term in church, but we might have forgotten what it is. But it's Paul was speaking somewhere, and he was on his way on his missionary journey, going different places to share the gospel and to plant churches. And he was headed one particular place, but God just kept saying, you can't go right now, you can't go right now. And then he receives a vision in the night. He gets a vision of a man from Macedonia. Now, how does Paul know it's a man from Macedonia? Because the Lord told him. Paul didn't know people from there. He'd never been there, and the gospel had never been taken there. This was in Europe, and so the gospel had yet to reach Europe. And so the vision from the man from Macedonia says, we need you to come and share the gospel here. Come and bring the good news of Jesus here. So the next day, Paul says, change of direction. This is where we're going. They get on a ship. They make one stop somewhere else, another stop, and then they end up landing, and they're at Philippi. And as they go to Philippi, Philippi is the center of Macedonia, which is the center of what really was Europe at the time. And so Paul looks for believers. It's a Roman colony, and there's not very many Jewish people there. Remember, Paul was Roman and Jewish, and so Paul, it was unique. And so Paul knew kind of how to get along with the people there, but he was looking for Jewish people that he could share Jesus with, and he couldn't find any. The reason we know he couldn't find any, because it says there was no synagogue, so he just went to a public place to pray, hoping to find a few. And as he does find a few, he meets someone then in the middle of all of this, where he's hopefully praying and meeting with people. He meets Lydia, and Lydia comes to know Jesus. And when Lydia comes to know Jesus, her entire family comes to know Jesus. So Paul and Silas and Luke and a few others are now discipling her, and they're discipling her family. And in the middle of all of that, they begin to go daily to a public place so that more can hear the gospel. They want it to spread. When someone receives Jesus, when personal revival takes place, they never want to hold it all in for themselves. They want that to spread out to others. So they went to a public place to meet. And so as they did, every day along the way, there was a young girl, a slave girl in the public market who was possessed by a demon. And the demon that possessed her had the ability to see and know the future. And so this demonic force, when this demon saw Paul and Silas and Luke and the others walking by, would always stop and would scream in a loud voice, "These worship the Son of the Most High God." Because the demon knew who Jesus was. And so the demon would speak that. And so this happened one day, 2 days, 3 days? The Bible says after several days. After several days, Paul comes along and the Bible says he gets annoyed. Now, if you've ever read any of Paul's 13 letters, you're not surprised that he could get annoyed. And so he got annoyed. And so when he gets annoyed, he turns and he says to them that this, or he basically, let me read it. It's going to be a little earlier. He turns and says, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And that very hour, the demon came out. Well, it was amazing. And so people saw that and couldn't believe it. A demonic slave girl is now just a slave girl. She's whole again, no longer controlled by the demon. You would think everyone would be excited and say, oh, tell me about this Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. But instead, the owners of the slave girl get mad because they just lost their source of income. Because they would charge people for her to tell them their future. And so now they lose their income. So they tell the magistrate who was kind of in charge of the area. Again, it's a Roman colony. And so they tell the magistrate, hey, listen, this guy is causing an uproar. These people are causing trouble. They're bringing in their Jewish ways and they're doing some strange things that even the other Jews don't do. And they're doing some things and it's trouble. And so they are seized. They are stripped of their clothes. They are beaten with rods. And then they're taken and thrown into the inner cell of a prison. And so all this happened without a trial. All this happened without proper accusation. But they were taken, they were beaten for their faith, and they were put inside this jail. Now, not everybody was taken, only Paul and Silas. There's reasons for that we don't have time to cover right now. It has to do with their heritage, why Luke and others were not taken. If you want to talk about that sometime, we will. Come see me. But the reality is Paul and Silas alone end up in prison. And so Paul and Silas are in prison. And by God's sovereignty, this is what happened. So picture them in the jail cell. It's the middle of the night. They don't have their clothes. They have been beaten. They are bloody and bruised. We know they're still bloody because of something that we're told later about in the story. And they're sitting there, and of all the things they could do, what would you be doing? God, please get me out of this. Oh, woe is me. God, help me. What am I going to do? Or we'd be there in shock. But not these men. Look at what they do in chapter 16, verse 24. It says, having received this order, he put them into the inner prison. This is the jailer. And fastened their feet in the stocks. And about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. They were praying and singing hymns to God. Of all the things to do in their situation, that's what they chose to do. Can you imagine? For me, I think I would have wallowed in my own self-pity. I would have felt like I had taken a pretty good beating for the Lord, so now I could rest a little bit because of that. But instead, they pray to him, and they're singing to him. And what you will find very quickly is this. Their worship has an audience, and the audience is King Jesus. He's the one they are worshiping, but their worship also had other spectators. It was people who were watching and seeing, and other prisoners who could hear them. It was dark in there in the middle of the night. No light in that place, but they could hear the noise and tell it was sincere. And so there they were, an audience. And here's what I would say to you, friends. They were suffering, but in their suffering, they were worshiping. And that one of the greatest ways you and I can learn to worship God, I hate to tell you, is through suffering. So when you struggle, just know that in that moment, is when you can have a connection to God of intimacy, where you can learn to worship him for who he is and ask him to change you and make you more like him and ask him to move than any other time in your life. It is a special connection with the Lord. I'm sorry, I'm not making light of your troubles, but I'm telling you, it's a scriptural principle we see over and over. So as they're praying, it tells us in the middle of the night, a great earthquake occurs at the prison. It doesn't happen everywhere. It happens at the prison. And so this earthquake occurs, and the jail doors are swung open. Their chains are loosened and set free. Every prisoner in the place is free. The jailer is awoken by all that's happening. He asks for torches. They bring torches. They look and see that all the prison doors are open. So what does the jailer do? He instantly draws his sword to take his own life, because what was awaiting him from the officials for letting them go was going to be much worse than just death. It would have been torture. So he gets ready to kill himself. And before he does, if you keep reading in chapter 16, Paul yells out in the darkness, do not harm yourself. We are all still here. And so the jailer then gets the lights, not just for him to see the cells open, but to take them in to see what's going on. He finds Paul and Silas bloody and beaten. He says, he pulls them out of their sins and out of their cells. And he says, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? And so Paul and Silas shared the gospel with him. He gives his life to the Lord. He leaves that place. His entire family that day or that night, still in the middle of the night, his family, he wakes them all up. They all give their lives to Jesus. They all go and are baptized right then, the scripture says, by the way. And then he feeds them. He clothes them, takes care of them. And then do you know what he does with them? He takes them back to prison. He takes them back because that's where they were supposed to be. And I'm sure they told him. And maybe, who knows the conversation? Did the jailer say, I can't put you back there? And did Paul say, you have to put us back there? I don't know. But in the middle of all this difficulty, he comes to know Christ, and then they take and they place them back in the prison. Now, I don't want you to miss the important part here. The important part is not that praise releases bondage. The important part that I would say, most important part of this passage, is that it was suffering that brought about salvation. You see, the earthquake was not an answer to Paul's prayer to be released. How do I know that? I can prove it to you. He stayed in the prison. The earthquake was an answer to Paul's prayers that someone would come to know Jesus in Philippi. And so the earthquake leads the jailer to the Lord. So as we pray tonight and as we prayed today, listen, I want you to know, pray for your own issues, your own sufferings, your own difficulties, but please understand that quite possibly God is going to take what we see as difficulty and take our hurt and our pain, and he will not waste it. He will use it in a way that brings him glory. And who knows, the miracle you're waiting for that you think is going to bring you deliverance might just be the miracle that lets someone else who's been watching you come to know Jesus. And oh, what a great privilege that could possibly be for us that that would happen. Now, it'd be great if God healed you and the same thing. And the truth is, Paul did get out of jail because the next morning, the magistrates come and say, we're going to let you out. You've been beaten. All this stuff's happened. We heard something happen in the night. It's time for you guys to go. And Paul says, nope. I don't know if that's the actual Greek, what he said, but I think he said, nope. And why did he say that? Because he says, here I am. You didn't give us a good trial. You imprisoned us, a Roman citizen. And I imagine he said it with some air of Roman citizen because they didn't know he was Roman. And once they heard those words, fear struck them because they knew they had imprisoned someone without proper channels and proper trials. Someone was going to be in serious trouble. So Paul says, I won't come out. You send them to us to talk to us. And so the magistrate comes and apologizes to Paul, and then brings them out and says, now please leave our city. It's just too much trouble. Please leave. So Paul goes and he says he strengthens the brothers, Lydia and the brothers in the faith. Then he boards a boat and he leaves. He's gone. Now he'll make his way back around and then 10 years later he writes them this beautiful letter in your Bible called the Book of Philippians. To this same group of people where all this happened. But understand this whole story and all that takes place is designed to point you and me to something important. And that is this, a few quick lessons as we stop and we're going to be done. First of all, suffering in your life can be a platform for the gospel to grow. So when you find yourself struggling, I want to encourage you, it is fine to say, God, would you please take this from me? But it is also, I think, a very wise thing to say, God, who is it you want to see come to know you because of this? You see, we get stuck on, God, why are you doing this? What are you trying to teach me? And maybe he is trying to teach you something, but how about we change our question? And maybe our normal question should not always be, well, when something bad happens, God, why? What is it you're trying to show me? And maybe the question should be, God, how is it I can give you glory and who needs to see it? Because there was an audience and they saw it. And so I would assume many others came to know the Lord through that. And we know the Philippian church grew in power over time and it did happen. And so my question for you is this, if you have suffered or if you have dealt with difficulty or if you have been in grief or you have struggled in some way, I do not want to make light of it, but I want to encourage you to understand there is no way to have the intimate, consistent growth with the Lord without some level of suffering in our lives. The scripture is clear over and over. So when it comes, would you ask that question, God, I want you to be my audience as I worship you through this problem. But oh, would you let somebody else come to know you in the middle of it as well? Would you ask that? Still ask him to bring healing, that's fine, but would you ask him to do that? Ask him that they might see it. And so that's what happens with Paul and Silas, and in the middle of that, we learn some other things as well. We learn that the demon girl spoke the name of Jesus, and if we're being honest, sometimes if we read that story, there are demons that might speak more about Jesus than some of us do. And can I encourage you as a follower of Jesus? If you look back over the last month of your life and I ask you, when have you proclaimed the goodness of God to someone? Let me be clear. I'm not asking, when have you invited someone to church? I'm not asking, when have you performed an act of kindness? Those are awesome. I'm asking, when's the last time you with your mouth, proclaimed the goodness of God and who he is and what he's doing? And friend, don't want you to feel convicted by my words. If the Spirit convicts you, fine, but not. I don't want to be my words. I want you to know in my own life that I have to stop and remind myself that it is easy for me to proclaim the gospel. I get paid to stand up and do it to hundreds of people a week at a time. But when it comes to one-on-one every day of my life, how often do I do it? I was convicted a few weeks back, a week and a half ago. Someone had come by the church for help. A lot of people come here for help. And if you've ever come for help, I'm not making light of that. We're thankful, but we're a large building downtown, easy to spot, can't miss us. A lot of people come for help. And this one particular Friday afternoon, there's no other church in town that's open on Friday. All the organizations that help people are not open on Fridays. We're open on Fridays. And so a lot of people come on Friday. This one particular guy comes, and he has just gotten out of jail, has no family, and he needs a place to stay for the night. And the reality was it was too late to get him in room in the inn. It was too late in the day, the cycle, to make it happen. And so he wasn't going to get there. And it was really, really cold. This was, again, a couple weeks ago. It was really cold. And so what were we going to do? Put this man out in the cold? We couldn't get him the room in the inn. What could we do? So we start looking for a hotel room for him. And Amanda gets one booked at one place. So I put him in my car, and we head that way. And before I get there, she calls and says, never mind, they just gave away their last room. And I say, well, try this place in Gunnersville. So she says, okay, you head that way. I got you a room. We get down the hill, get to the, she says, never mind, they just gave away their last two rooms online. They were booked. And so I said, well, try the one across the way. She said, okay, so she tries it. They have one room you can try. I get there. She says, oh, my mistake. We don't have it tonight. It's for tomorrow night. I said, he's going to freeze to death tonight if we do this. So she says, okay, I'm now at the bottom of the hill in Gunnersville. We've spent an hour and 20 minutes doing this. She says, okay, I'll call a hotel in Boaz. I said, okay, great. See if they've got a room. If they have it, tell them they better hold it because a mad preacher's coming. And so we drive. And so we're making our way up the hill. And I've spent an hour in the car with this guy just chit-chatting, small talk. And finally, the Lord looks at me and says, Chris, why have you not told him about me yet? We were talking about hotel rooms and his situation getting out of jail and all the other things and all this stuff. And so finally, I said, hey, you know what? I'm slow, so you need to realize in thinking of what I'm supposed to be doing, maybe we've had all these problems because I have yet to talk to you about Jesus, and you're in my car, and I'm paying for your room, so you got to listen. And that's what I said. And he's like, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. So we have this talk about Jesus all the way to Boaz. And end up at the hotel, and they do have a room for him. But to be able to talk about who the Lord was and to speak those words, even for me, in the middle of trying to do some act of kindness for the Lord's sake, I was neglecting to make sure he knew that God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. To make sure that he knew that for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. This man knew he had sinned. He just got out of jail. He knew it. To make sure he knew the scripture that says the wage of our sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That we have a gift for him. We were giving him a room, but God has something bigger to offer him right then in that moment. Romans 5:8, that God demonstrates his love for him. This man, I called him by name, that while he was not even born yet, Jesus died for him. And that God wasn't really interested about whether he went to jail or not. God was interested about whether he went to hell or not. And God wanted him to come to know him. And so I was able to share the gospel with him. And I say that to you to say this, not to say, oh, look at Chris. I'm saying to you, look at Chris. It took me an hour to get into my head that this is what the Lord was having me to do in that moment. So surely some of you would be in the same boat. At times where we neglect to speak the gospel to someone else, Well, my renewed commitment that day is the same it is today. I'm not going to let some demon out-talk me about Jesus. So I want to encourage you this morning as we close, would you make a renewed commitment to speak with your mouth the good news of Jesus Christ to others? Don't just bring them to the pastor. I'll be glad to talk to him, but don't just say, would you come to church with me? Share the gospel. Mike Williams talked about this morning in our Sunday school small group that I don't remember how he brought it up, but when he said, you know, that we can't just have everyone come and hear, and he pointed to me and said, here, Chris, I don't remember exactly how he worded it, but in my mind, he said, that's not, we're supposed to grow on our own, not just have him tell it to us. And in my mind, I immediately thought about something that I've said before and I've heard before and I want to share with you again, and that is this. My job as the pastor is not to fill your cup. My job is to empty mine out. Your job is to fill your cup. So what I would say is this, when it comes to living out our faith, the pastor's job is not to lead everybody to Jesus. The pastor's job is to encourage you, pray for you, and me, because I'm just like you, us both, all of us, to share the gospel and lead someone. So that person you prayed for up here, when's the last time you physically shared the words of the gospel? Maybe last time they weren't ready, maybe this time they are. I've shared with you the story before, and I'll close with this, of a young man, or he wasn't young, excuse me, middle-aged like me. A middle-aged man, we were in Maine, and he didn't know the Lord, but he started meeting with me and another guy every week for a Bible study. And we would meet once a week, and we were reading through the Gospel of John. And as we were reading through the Gospel of John, we kind of made a commitment that, because I knew he knew nothing about the Bible, so we sort of made a commitment that what we would do is this. We each week, we wouldn't discuss it until we had read the whole book. So we had a week to read the entire book of John, and we came back together. And so the first week, we committed to do that, and I prayed for the Lord to use the Bible to speak to him. We came back in, the three of us, and I was the only one who had read it all. The other two only made it about halfway. So I said, okay, we're not going to discuss it. Go read John and come back next week, and we will talk about it. And so we go back the next week, and me and the other guy, Eric, have both read the Gospel of John. And this other guy, he still didn't finish it. And so we said, okay, one more time. We're going to finish the whole book before we discuss it, because you need to know what we're talking about. I want his commitment to be there. So we leave again, come back the next week. This time, me and Eric have read it all, and the other guy still hadn't read it all. And Eric had been what's the word? Well, he had worked for an organized crime organization years ago in his life in the Boston area. And so he was a big brutish kind of guy. And I really thought he's about to kill this guy for not reading the Gospel of John. And so I was like, "Let's one more week. And he says, okay, pastor, but give him another week. But anyway, so we give him another week. We come back the next week. We sit down and I'm about to say, did you read the Gospel of John? And this other guy, I can picture him in my mind sitting there right then. He didn't let me get the sentence out. And he looks at me and he says, I'm in. I said, what do you mean you're in? He says, I'm in. I get it. I read it all. I got to the part. I got Jesus. I get it. I'm in. I said, what do you mean? Through reading the book of John, he gets to the scripture. He understands John 3:16. He reads about new life. He reads the entire gospel, and he knew, and he gave his life to the Lord just through the scripture. So friends, what I would say to you is this. If you think, I don't know what to say to that loved one, I don't know how to do it, just take your Bible and open it up, or your Bible app. Ask anybody, Google, what's the Romans road to salvation? It'll give you five scriptures to take and say, can I just read these five Bible verses to you? Because this is what Jesus has done for me. The Word of God will draw men and women to himself. And the Holy Spirit does that work. And Jesus is the Word. So would you do that? So will you make a renewed commitment to speak the gospel to others? That's the first part. The second part, take me 30 seconds to say, if you have been suffering in some way, would you allow me the privilege of asking you to consider that? I'm praying that God will deliver you, but whatever you're going through, your grief, your pain, whatever, would you prayerfully consider asking that God would show you how you can use it for a platform that others might come to know him and use it as a way to grow deeper in your intimate walk with him? That's our two parts of invitation today, that we will speak the name of Jesus and speak the gospel, and that we, in our suffering and difficulty will allow him to use it as a platform for his good. Read the rest of the story on your own. There's so many great things there. Would you bow with me? With heads bowed for just a moment. If it's been a while since you've spoken the gospel to somebody, I want to ask you to make a renewed commitment to that today. Maybe you want to come and pray about it. I hope and pray that maybe you can speak it to that person you're praying for. In some cases, you may not be able to, and I understand that. Would you pray that someone would, and would you take the opportunity to be that someone for somebody else and speak it to them? Would you take my challenge of sharing your testimony of what Jesus has done for you with somebody in the next 24 hours? Just tell them God has blessed you immensely. He's forgiven you when you didn't deserve it. He's made you new, and he'll do the same for them, and just offer to pray for them. Would you do that? To pray for the people you work with to come to know him, the people you live with to come to know him, the people in your neighborhood to come to know him. And then lastly, if you're suffering, or if you have some kind of grief, and you might say it's minor compared to others, I'm not going to try to rate your difficulty. The friend is, it's yours, it's yours. So my prayer is that God would bring relief in that area, but my prayer most of all is that you could give him glory and that others might have a jailer-like experience, that they come to Jesus because of what they see in you. And then lastly, maybe God's calling you. Maybe today's the day you sense it. You've been worshiping here a while, but there's no doubt about it. Today's the day God's calling you to be a part of our faith family. You want to come and unite with our church. Maybe today's the day you know it. You have Jesus in your life, but you want to be like Kevin, and you want to publicly profess that through baptism, and you know it. You want to come and say that. If I can pray with you about something, whatever God is doing, would you respond? Father God, we ask you to move now. Speak to us, lead us, and may we be obedient. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.